In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The prophet we know as 2nd Isaiah, nobody really knows who he was, has a claim to be one of the most original thinkers of the Old Testament. Rejecting the notion of God as simply a tribal deity, a limited projection of Israel's national aspirations, little better than the wooden idols which the neighbouring tribes carried around, Isaiah pushed at the frontiers of theology to proclaim God as the eternal creator, the divine word, the universal sovereign, the saviour, the God of righteousness. God is the Lord of history. In talking about Cyrus, the Persian king, whom he believes will defeat Babylon and release the Jewish exiles to return to their homeland, Isaiah paints a bold picture of an omnipotent God who effortlessly commands rulers and manipulates them to do his will. But embedded in the passage we heard in our first reading, with all its triumphalism and breathless anticipation, is one verse that sounds a very different note. Isaiah writes, "Truly you are a God who hides himself, a God of Israel, the Saviour." What are we to make of this? The concept of the hidden God seems to run counter to everything else that Isaiah is saying. Does he mean that God hides behind the historical figure of Cyrus, the God who once made himself known in the burning bush or confirmed his presence in the pillar of cloud, now chooses to withdraw and act through human agents? Or is he perhaps going even further and addressing what seems to us a very modern preoccupation, the apparent absence of God? There is a distinction to be drawn here between knowledge and experience. Intellectually, we cannot fault Augustine's logic when he suggests that if we understood God, then he would no longer be God. God transcends human understanding, and there will always be hidden elements. The little we manage to know of God will be vastly outweighed by the aspects of his being which are veiled from us. That much we can understand. But what about the experience of our personal encounter with this hidden God? The poet-priest R.S. Thomas, who died in the year 2000, was greatly exercised by this. His poetry often reveals a bleakness which some have felt to be little removed from atheism. But that isn't, I think, a fair judgment. What Thomas seeks to articulate is precisely this sense of a hidden God, elusive, fast-moving, always going on ahead of us. He says in one poem that the experience is like entering a room, I quote, from which someone has just gone. Elsewhere, he reflects on the nature of praying to this puzzling God and writes, "I would have refrained long since, but that peering once through my locked fingers, I thought that I detected the movement of a curtain." For R.S. Thomas, the image of the twitching curtain stands for those momentary experiences of God which sustain a fragile faith in an unjust, suffering world from which God seems so often to be absent. I suspect Thomas would have found it hard to echo with conviction the second part of Isaiah's verse, "Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Saviour." Temperamentally, R.S. Thomas was a soul clinging to the wreckage, rather than one whose faith enabled him to believe in a mystery which lay beyond his understanding. He was not a mystic. But for others, hiddenness will not be an insuperable obstacle. Instead, it may be a help to acknowledge that we cannot know, that we have a God whose being and righteousness and depth of love are too great for human beings to grasp. For some, the movement of the curtain will be reassurance enough. And, as the 20th century theologian John Macquarie once wrote, it could be argued that a decent silence about God is in many cases preferable to an over-familiarity. Amen. Let us pray.